We got a ton of game reports lined up on this Saturday afternoon. Concordia St. Paul at home today. Bethel at home today. Game report from St. Olaf and UMD at Sioux Falls today. We'll get a game report on that. But first, let's run down the scores. Let's start with the Big Ten, the top 25, the Missouri Valley, and the Tommy score. One more time, here's Jonathan Lowell.
Thank you, sir. It is it's a wonderful day, isn't it? It's a lovely, beautiful day for a lot of pigskin and a lot of college football. Saturday in the fall, y'all. That's right. We have the pigskin here, there, and everywhere, and we get it rolling in the Big Ten. Michigan's having trouble. Let's just start right there. The number 24th ranked Wolverines just got a field goal attempt blocked. They were in the red zone. They were trying to cut into Illinois' lead, but the 22nd ranked Fighting Illini, they are having their way today. 21-7, Illinois leads with 30 seconds left in the third quarter. Michigan really going to have to get something to turn their way to get back in this game. It's at the half in College Park. USC leads Maryland 21-7 on the East Coast. USC trying to get back above 500 at 4-3. Earlier today, number 16, Indiana, proved that they were a ranked team and it should be a top-ranked team. They took it to 5-1 Nebraska, 56-7 the final. They led 28-7 at the half and added on 14 points in the third and 14 points in the fourth. It was no contest today in Bloomington. The Hoosiers are now 7-0 on the season. UCLA gets their second win as they go east to Rutgers and beat the Scarlet Knights 35-32. Wisconsin gets to 5-2 on the season. They drop Northwestern back below 500, 23-3 the final in Evanston. Coming up later this evening, the Hawkeyes try to get to 5-2. They're on the road to take on Michigan State. Last night, number 2 Oregon got to 7-0 on the season as they beat Purdue 35-0 in West Lafayette. To the top 25 scoreboard, and it's still a slugfest in Knoxville. Number 7 Alabama leading number 11 Tennessee 7-0 as we get about 9.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. So Alabama trying to, on this offensive drive, stretch out their lead, but it's still a one possession game. Number 25 Navy really not having much trouble with Charlotte late in the third quarter in Annapolis. It is 44-17. Navy looking to get a 6-0 record on the season. Number 12 Notre Dame started off slow. They've come back to take a 21-7 lead over Georgia Tech early in the fourth quarter, and it looks like it is just now and isn't an instant update. It might be an instant update with Notre Dame going up 28-7. We'll keep an eye on that one. Number 14, Texas A&M. They're just kicking off the second half in Starkville. The Aggies lead Mississippi State 21-17. Aggies looking to get to 6-1 on the season. Earlier today, number 19, Missouri had to come back and win in the final seconds over Auburn in a battle of the Tigers in Como 21-17. The Mizzou Tigers get to 6-1 on the season. Number 23, Army, they're undefeated still at 7-0. 45-28, they win over East Carolina. Number 6, Miami stays undefeated. They're 7-0, beating Louisville on the road 52-45. It was number 10 Clemson coming back from an early deficit to take down Virginia 48-31. The Tigers from Death Valley, the South Carolina Death Valley, are now 6-1 on the season, 6 in a row after losing their first one to Georgia. Speaking of Georgia, they're going to be coming up in a titanic showdown later on tonight. The games later on, number 8 LSU in Fayetteville to take on Arkansas. Arkansas just took down a top-ranked Tennessee team a couple weeks ago at home, so watch out, Bayou Bengals. Number 17, Kansas State, they're on the road in Morgantown to take on West Virginia. Number 9, Iowa State is home in Ames to take on Central Florida. Number 1, Texas. Number 5, Georgia. Game of the night coming up in Austin at 6:30. Number 21, SMU. They'll try to get to 6-1 as they go to the farm to take on Stanford later on this evening. And then last night, number 13, BYU scores with 10 seconds on the clock to take down Oklahoma State. The Cowboys suffer their fourth straight loss. The Cougars are 7-0, 38-35 the final there. In the Missouri Valley, it was North Dakota taking down Northern Iowa earlier today, 31-7. One game just underway just a few minutes ago in Ohio, South Dakota, and Youngstown State just underway about 40 seconds into the game. And Youngstown coming up in just a little bit. It'll be South Dakota State and North Dakota State from the Fargo Dome with the Marker Trophy, I believe, on the line, if that's correct, Steve. I believe it's the Marker Trophy.
Yeah, the Dakota Marker.
The Dakota Marker, the yes. Yep. That is a huge game. It's going to be on ESPN2, excuse me, tonight at 7 o'clock. And then earlier today in Indiana, it was St. Thomas defeating Valparaiso. Tommies get their fourth win on the season. They win 42-14 and stay undefeated in the Pioneer League.
All right, very good, Jonathan. Let's jump over to the MIAC today. All the games are in the books. St. Olaf holds off St. Scholastic at 36-33 at Klein Field at Manitou and Northfield. It was Concordia winning at Hamlin 41-7 at Claus Field. Bethel rolls over Augsburg 73-8 in Arden Hills at Royal Stadium. St. John's won at Carlton 48-7 today. Aaron Severson, 5 touchdown passes in that game as he continues to add to his record-breaking career for the Johnnies. Gustavus beat McAllister 36-7. We'll get game reports on a bunch of those coming up next week in the MIAC. Noon starts St. Olaf at Augsburg. At 1, Carlton at St. Scholastica. Bethel visits Hamlin. Concordia travels to McAllister. And Gustavus will make the trip to Clemens Stadium in Collegeville and play St. John's. Let's get over to the Northern Sun. All finals today in Sioux Falls. 2 games. Augustana beat Winona State 31-0. And Sioux Falls beat Minnesota Duluth 24-21. We'll get a game report on that one shortly. Bemidji State beat Minot State 21-9. Kevin Reed got us a report earlier in the day. MSU Moorhead won at Concordia St. Paul 34-31. Josh Deere will join us momentarily. And Wayne State won on the road at Mary 30-0. Southwest Minnesota State not in action today. Let's get over to the WIAC. 1 game on Friday. Whitewater beat Stevens Point 66-0. Today, La Crosse beat Eau Claire 34-7. River Falls in overtime beat Stout 40-37. And it was Oshkosh beating Platteville 24-17. This is a wide open WIAC this year. No clear favorite at this point in the season. It is going to be a fun rush to the finish in the WIAC, a final week of the regular season in the middle of November. In the UMAC today, Crown won on the road at Westminster 30-13. Greenville beat Martin Luther 42-35. And Northwestern down Morris 44-13 in Roseville today. A nice win for Northwestern today at home, and what a gorgeous campus they have at Northwestern in Roseville. All right, you're up to date on the scoreboard. Let's jump back into those game reports right now, and we're going to start in the Northern Sun, and Josh Deere sent us his report a little bit earlier today. MSU Moorhead visiting Seafoam Stadium, playing Concordia St. Paul. Once again, here's Josh Deere.
A pair of 2-4 teams squared off today at Seafoam Stadium in St. Paul, each looking to even their records in league play at 3-3. It was an interesting matchup going in, with one team looking to pound the ball on the ground against another that likes to air it out. Concordia entered the game with one of the top offensive lines, ranking 8th in the country, allowing only 4 sacks, and ranking 6th in the country in fewest tackles for loss, for a team averaging 166 yards on the ground and led by the nation's 11th leading rusher, Jalen Richardson, a Northern Iowa transfer in his 4th year at Concordia from Kansas City, Kansas. MSU Moorhead features a top 5 pass offense in Division II football by multiple metrics, led by Bloomer, Wisconsin quarterback Jack Strand, averaging 341 yards per game. Concordia's ball control and physical run game controlled the first 3 quarters as CSP led 21-7 late in the 3rd quarter. MSU Moorhead would get a late third-quarter touchdown, but with a 21-14 lead, CSP had rushed for 199 yards to MSU Moorhead's 183 passing and controlled the clock for 29:53 of the first 45 minutes, nearly a 2-1 time of possession edge. In the fourth quarter, Strand took over for MSU Moorhead, throwing 3 touchdown passes, with 4 of his 5 touchdown strikes on the day coming in the final 18-plus minutes of play. Concordia still looked like it would maintain the upper hand, though, with Greenfield, Wisconsin sophomore Jackson Compton connecting with Northern Iowa transfer wide receiver from Clear Lake, Drew Enke, for a 39-yard touchdown and a 28-21 Concordia lead. After Strand answered with his second of three touchdowns in the quarter, Concordia used a near six-minute drive with UW-Whitewater transfer kicker Jeff Isitalo-McGuire making a short 25-yard field goal for a 31-28 CSP lead with 1:51 left. On the game's final drive, in the two-minute offense, Strand executed, picking up first downs on 4th and 3, 4th and 10, and 3rd and 1 to put the Dragons at the 15-yard line with under 20 seconds to play. On the next play, he found Park Cottage Grove graduate Brady Perryman for a 15-yard touchdown with 12 seconds left for the game winner for the Dragons. Strand finished the day completing 35 of 55 for 357 yards and 5 touchdowns, with Perryman the main target with 10 catches for 113 yards and 3 scores. Richardson for Concordia capped off a big day with a career-high 198 rushing and 2 first-quarter touchdown runs, while Enke had 7 catches for 111 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Compton for Concordia, in just his third career start, completed 17 of 29 for 213 yards and 2 touchdowns, while adding 30 more on the ground. The Dragons improved to 3-4 overall and 3-3 in the NSIC, while CSP falls to 2-5 overall, 2-4 in the NSIC. Concordia returns home next Saturday, hosting Northern State for a noon kickoff at Seafoam Stadium.
All right, very good, Josh. Outstanding job. Once again, Josh Deere, Concordia St. Paul. And speaking of the rundown of all the games in the Northern Sun next week, let's take a sneak peek at that schedule while we have a moment, and then we'll take a break, and we got more game reports coming up here on News Talk 830 WCCO. But next Saturday, Sioux Falls at Wayne State, a noon start. Northern State visits Concordia St. Paul, as Josh mentioned. Minot State at UMD. Southwest Minnesota State at MSU Moorhead. All of those are noon starts. And then at 1, Bemidji State travels to Winona State for a 1 o'clock start, and Augustana with the big one at Minnesota State at 1 o'clock. So you're up to date on the Northern Sun. When we come back, we got two game reports out of the MIAC. Bethel wins big at home. St. Olaf wins at home today. And we'll do those in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. College football final. Golden Gophers are idle today. Some great action in the Big Ten. Illinois leading Michigan 21-7. Michigan driving early in the fourth. And I just want to get back to the Fighting Illini uniforms today. They are wearing a helmet that looks like the old school leather helmet. Well, anyway, this is a tribute to Red Grange. And they're going with throwback uniforms that are tied to a very important date in Illinois football history. October 19th, that's today, is 100 years and one day after Fighting Illini icon Red Grange, historic 6-touchdown performance against Michigan during the Memorial Stadium dedication game in 1924. Now, generally, teams wearing multiple uniforms or changing uniforms every week, all of the Gophers or the Oregon Ducks, not a huge fan of it. These helmets today are really cool. Modern helmets, but they look like old leather helmets. It's really a great look in that Illinois-Michigan game. All right, let's get to the game reports. Let's jump over to the MIAC today. Bethel was at home to Augsburg today in the Royals' roll. Here's Austin Legesse, who brought us his game report earlier.
Thanks, Steve. Another big offensive day for the Bethel offense as they defeat Augsburg 73-8 here in Arden Hills. The Royals put up a total of 518 yards of offense compared to Augsburg's 166. 353 of that came in the air as the quarterback Cooper Drews, a sophomore out of Princeton, Minnesota, was 15 of 19 through the air for 286 yards and 4 touchdowns. Story of the day, Joey Kidder, the fifth-year wide receiver out of New Richmond, Wisconsin, became the Royals' all-time receiving yards leader. He now has 3,067 career yards. That came after having 8 catches for 148 yards today. That included a 50-yard touchdown pass in the opening quarter, which gave Bethel a 21-0 lead after the first 15 minutes. Royals packed it on in the second quarter, scoring 28 points. A fumble recovery by Caden DeWall and returned for a touchdown of 26 yards made it 49-0 at the break. In the third quarter, Aaron Ellingson, a 1-yard rush. Micah Niewald, a 19-yard touchdown grab, his second of the game. The Niewald, a senior out of Fridley, Minnesota. That made it 63-0. Augsburg had a score with 1:20 left in the third. Their lone score of the day came on a 10-yard pass to Jordan Doe, a senior out of Coon Rapids, and then the Aggies convert on the two-point conversion. Bethel added a 21-yard field goal in the fourth and an 11-yard pick six with 9:12 left in the game to give us to our final 73-8. Leading rusher for the Royals today was Aaron Ellingson. He had a career-high 4 rushing touchdowns, 9 carries, and 85 yards for Ellingson. That makes it his third multi-rushing touchdown game of the year for the graduate student out of St. Louis Park. For the Royals, they go ahead and hit the road as next week they travel to Hamlin for a 1 o'clock kickoff, while the Aggies host St. Olaf College in Minneapolis at Edor Nelson Field. That's a 12 o'clock kickoff. That'll do it from Bethel University.
All right, there he is, Austin LeJesse. Thank you. He filed that report earlier. Speaking of the MIAC, we had another game today, and this one very close. St. Scholastica at St. Olaf, and here's Michael Abdallah.
In the lone close game of the day in the MIAC, St. Olaf needed a last-second 21-yard field goal from fifth-year senior Colin Swan to remain undefeated with a 36-33 victory over St. Scholastica at Klein Field at Manitou. After the Saints tied the game at 33 on an acrobatic catch by Ricky Weber with 4:46 to go, the Olies covered 71 yards in 10 plays to get the ball inside the 5-yard line and set up Swan's game-winning kick. The two teams combined for 993 yards of offense and 6 turnovers in the game, which included just 1 punt. St. Scholastica outgained St. Olaf by a 565-428 margin and controlled the ball for over 39 minutes, while the Olies averaged 8.7 yards per play offensively. Senior quarterback Theo Doran, out of Minneapolis in the Academy of Holy Angels, was 24-29 for 324 yards with 4 touchdowns and 2 interceptions for St. Olaf. Fifth-year senior tight end Derek Hansen out of Eagan had 6 catches for 109 yards. Junior wideout Will Skemp caught 8 passes for 94 yards and a score. And senior Evan Hammonds out of Brooklyn Park and Champlin Park High School hauled in a pair of touchdowns for the Olies. Donald West, out of St. Paul and Woodbury High School, was 30-43 for 393 yards with 1 touchdown and 1 interception through the air for St. Scholastica, while also running for 37 yards and 3 more scores. Roseville's Ricky Weber had 12 receptions for 144 yards and the touchdown that tied the game prior to Swan's field goal. Neither team led by more than 6 points in the game, which saw senior Eliza Short out of Andover and the Blake School return a blocked extra point for 2 points for the second week in a row for St. Olaf. This year marks the 7th time in program history and the first since 2005 that the Olies have started 6-0. St. Olaf, which is 4-0 in MIAC play and 2-0 in the Northwoods Division, will hit the road for its next 3 games, starting with a trip to Augsburg next Saturday for a noon kickoff in Minneapolis. St. Scholastica will return home to face Carleton next week after falling to 2-4 overall, 1-3 in conference play, and 0-2 in the division.
All right, there is Michael Abdallah joining us from St. Olaf. Olies win, beat St. Scholastica 36-33. Quickly jump over to the UMAC today, and big win, Northwestern over Minnesota Morris in Roseville today, 44-13. Caden Cantrell, 13-22, 185 yards, and a touchdown today. And Sievert Klefsis, 26 carries, 205 yards, and a touchdown. Caden Cantrell, the quarterback, 10 carries for 10 yards, but 2 touchdowns in the game today as Northwestern of Roseville wins in the UMAC today over Minnesota Morris. Big win For Northwestern, 44-13. Greenville beat Martin Luther, 42-35 in Illinois. And Crown on the road at Westminster in Missouri wins it 30-13. And we'll have all the scores. We'll have another rundown of the Big Ten and Top 25. We have more game reports coming up, including UMD's trip to Sioux Falls today. Cougars win at Tom Frederick with that game report following the scoreboard here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It has been a solid 26 years of college football final here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Jonathan Lowe has been a big part of it over the years. I'll have a rundown of the regional scoreboard coming up momentarily. We've got another game report or two to get to before we say goodbye. We'll talk Vikes, Lions, and Little Hockey with Jez Myers. The Golden Gopher men are in Duluth playing the UMD Bulldogs. We understand he's joining the Pioneer Press. It'll be on the Wild Beat. The Wild are in Columbus tonight, so we'll close it out with a Little Hockey at the end of the show today. But right now, the Big Ten, the Top 25, and more. Here is Jonathan Lowe.
Oh, yes, Stevie T. We got one more scoreboard to go, and we got some action heading down to the wire in the late afternoon, as we usually do on one of these wonderful, beautiful, gorgeous Saturdays in the fall, y'all. College football here, there, and everywhere, and we get it rolling in the Big Ten, where number 22 Illinois continues to fend off number 24 Michigan. It is midway through the fourth quarter. Steve just detailed for me before it happened, because I'm on a little bit of delay here in the studio. Illinois intercepts Michigan at the two-yard line. Michigan trying to go in and cut the score, but unfortunately they couldn't. They're fighting a Illini, the Fighting Brett Bielema's, lead 21-7 with about 8 minutes to play. It is midway through the third quarter in College Park. Maryland with the ball trying to tie up the score. USC leads the Terps 21-14. Early today, number 16 Indiana had their way with Nebraska 56-7. The Hoosiers are 7-0. UCLA goes on the road and wins in Piscataway over Rutgers 35-32. Wisconsin gets their fifth win of the season. They win 23-3 over Northwestern. Coming up in just under an hour in East Lansing, it'll be Iowa taking on the Spartans. Both teams trying to get or stay above 500 on the season. Iowa with their trying to get their fifth win. Michigan State trying to get to 4-3. Last night, number 2 Oregon gets to 7-0 on the season. They shut out Purdue in West Lafayette 35-0. To the top 25 scoreboard, it is continuing to be a defensive struggle in Knoxville. There is now under 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. Number 7 Alabama leads number 11 Tennessee 10-7. In Annapolis, number 25 Navy, they continue to lead over Charlotte 51-17 at the end of three quarters. Navy looking to get to 6-0 on the season. Number 12 Notre Dame, they've expanded their lead slightly over Georgia Tech. Look like they're going to win in Atlanta. There's about 3 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. The Irish lead the Yellow Jackets 24-7. Number 14 Texas A&M, they are in the red zone looking to increase their lead over Mississippi State. 4:45 to go in the third quarter. The Aggies lead 24-17. Earlier today, number 19 Mizzou comes back to defeat Auburn 21-17. It was number 23 Army getting the 7-0 on the season as they defeat East Carolina 45-28. Number 6 Miami stays undefeated 7-0 on the year. They win at Louisville 52-45. Number 10 Clemson comes back from an early deficit to beat Virginia 48-31. Coming up in just about under 25 minutes in Fayetteville, number 8 LSU heads to Arkansas. Number 17 Kansas State in just under an hour will be in Morgantown to take on West Virginia. Number 9 Iowa State in just under an hour will host UCF. It'll be number one Texas, hosting number 5 Georgia in just under an hour in Austin. Number 21 SMU, they are on the road at Stanford this evening. Last night, number 13 BYU had to come back and win in the last seconds to stay undefeated. They get to 7-0 with a 38-35 win over Oklahoma State. It was North Dakota and the FCS defeating Northern Iowa in Grand Forks 31-7. The end of the first quarter in Youngstown, bit of a stunner here. The Coyotes from South Dakota down 7-0 to the Penguins from Youngstown State. And coming up in just under an hour and a half, South Dakota State, North Dakota State. I don't need to say anything more about that in this area, especially involving the Missouri Valley. That is going to be a showdown at the Fargo Dome on ESPN2. And then you have St. Thomas defeating Valparaiso today in the Pioneer League. 42-14, St. Thomas gets to 4-3 on the season.
All right, Jonathan, before we get to the regional scoreboard and another game report out of the Northern Sun, I do want to say MLB playoffs tonight, Yankees-Guardians from Cleveland tonight, first pitch 7:08 our time. And the Yankees could earn a trip to the World Series in Game 5 with a victory. They are up, obviously, 3-1.
One more thing, Steve, real quick. Edstead update from Rocky Top. Tennessee bowls into the end zone with 1 minute to play in the third quarter. Number 11, Tennessee, 13. Number 7, Alabama, 10. Extra point pending.
Ooh, I wonder if that moves Kalen DeBoer to the hot seat in Tuscaloosa. You got to wonder about that. They narrowly defeated South Carolina, and then, of course, before that, lost at Vanderbilt and lost, granted, on the road at Tennessee. Not particularly a good look for Bama. And then tomorrow, NLCS, Mets, Dodgers. Dodgers up 3-2. So that's where the baseball playoffs stand. We'll talk hockey at the end of the hour. Don't forget, WNBA Game 5, winner take all, Lynx and the Liberty from Brooklyn, New York. The series tied at 2. The Lynx win a thriller by 2 on Friday night in front of a full house at Target Center. Great sports theater. All right, let's jump over to that scoreboard now and start in the MIAC today on this October 19th. And we'll first of all tell you about St. Olaf's narrow win over St. Scholastica today in Northfield, 36-33. Olies get a big win. Concordia rolls at Hamlin 41-7. It was Bethel all over Augsburg, 73-8 in Arden Hills today. St. John's a big winner at Carlton, 48-7. The great Aaron Severson, 5 touchdown passes for the Johnnies. He's had a phenomenal career. Gustavus wins at McAllister, 36-7. Northern Sun, all finals. Augustana beat Winona State in Sioux Falls, 31-0. Bemidji State beat Minot State, 21-9. Big thanks to Kevin Reed for the game report. MSU Moorhead had a winner at Concordia St. Paul, 34-31. Big thanks to Josh Deere for the game report. Wayne State shuts out Marion Bismarck, 30-8. They'll get home to Wayne in the wee hours of Sunday morning. That is a long road trip. And Sioux Falls beat Minnesota Duluth 24-21. Game report coming up momentarily with the great Tom Frederick, the longtime voice of the Cougars. From WIAC action today, this conference is wide open. La Crosse beat Eau Claire 34-7 to stop the bleeding. It was River Falls beating Stout 40-37 in overtime. And Oshkosh beat Platteville 24-17. There are no unbeaten teams at this point in the WIAC. Whitewater rolled over Stevens Point 66-0 in a Friday night tilt. Finally, in the UMAC today, Northwestern beat Morris 44-13 in St. Paul, Roseville today. It was Greenville beating Martin Luther 42-35 in Illinois, and Crown on the road at Westminster won 30-13. So you're up to date on the scoreboard there. And as we promised, one more game report, and that's out of the Northern Sun. UMD is struggling this year. They've lost some tight ball games. They drop another one today at Sioux Falls. Here's the voice of the Cougars, Tom Frederick.
It was a happy homecoming for the University of Sioux Falls as it held on to defeat Minnesota Duluth 24-21 Saturday afternoon at Bob Young Field. The Cougars jumped out to a 3-0 first quarter lead on a 27-yard field goal by Nick Hernandez. But UMD took the lead for the first time, 7-3 in the second quarter, when Adam Riley circled the right side from 29 yards out. Cougars took the lead going into halftime when Lakeville South junior Camden Dean, the USF quarterback, circled the left side from 7 yards out. Cougars up by 3 at the break. On a flea flicker, early stages third quarter, Jacob Eggert out of Mankato hit Jimmy DeRocher for USF for UMD from 56 yards out to give the Bulldogs a 14-10 advantage. But on the ensuing possession, Cam Dean again circled the left side with another touchdown run, this one from 9 yards out. Duluth took the lead for the last time, 21-17. In the first minute of the fourth quarter, Deshaun Ames on a 19-yard throw from Jacob Eggert. The Cougars' game-winning score came with 10 minutes to play. Dean hit Carter Slykhouse from 12 yards out to make it 24-21. No further scoring, but there was a lot of action down the stretch. Duluth deep in its own end with 8 minutes to go, went for it on 4th and 5 from its 26, converted only to later throw an interception to Sioux Falls. USF with 1:06 to go, punting from deep in its own end. The punter, Scott Dixon, bobbled the snap, was able to pick it up, evade the tackler, and boom, a 51-yarder. Duluth then threw an interception. Matt Gehring picking it off with 12 seconds to go. UMD outgained USF 380-371. Dean rushed for 103 yards for Sioux Falls on 17 carries with the two scores. Carter Slykhouse, 13 catches, 114 yards in receptions, plus a touchdown for the Cougars. Jimmy DeRocher, 5 grabs, 134 yards for Duluth on the receiving end. USF with 4 takeaways, all interceptions of Eggert, and Dean threw 1 interception for Sioux Falls. First time ever under Kurt Wiese, UMD has dropped 4 games in a season. They've lost 3 in a row now to sit 3-4 on the year, 2-4 in the league. Sioux Falls at 6-2 overall, 5-2 in the league. Cougars at Wayne State next week, UMD hosting Minot. Final again, Sioux Falls 24, UMD 21. This is Tom Frederick reporting.
All right, very good, Tom. Once again, the longtime voice of the Cougars, and the University of Sioux Falls lost their best friend. Sid Kordmeyer passed away after an illness, and I'll just say this about Sid. Sid Kordmeyer, great guy, loved the school more than anybody else, around for a long, long time. By the way, Golden Gopher women's hockey, number 1 Wisconsin swept Minnesota at Ritter Arena 5-0 on Friday, 4-3 today. Meanwhile, the men are in Duluth, Amsoil Arena, to take on the Bulldogs. We'll get a report on that. Jess Myers is up there, and we've learned Jess Myers will be on the Wild beat for the Pioneer Press. We'll talk about that. The Wild are in Columbus tonight. They have some injuries early in the year. 2-0-2 once again. Wild and Blue Jackets from Ohio tonight. That is a 6 o'clock start. Another thing I want to bring up, and that has to do with the Vikings and the Lions tomorrow, U.S. Bank Stadium, Vikes out of the bye, huge showdown. They're favored by 1.5. Top two teams in the division are the Vikings unbeaten. This is certainly a challenging game tomorrow. High noon, U.S. Bank Stadium, Vikes favored by 1.5. On their home field. Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers having a good year already. Jordan Love, their young quarterback, back. Packers favored by 3 over the Texans. The over-unders in both of these games tomorrow, Packers-Texans 48, Vikes-Lions over-under oddsmakers have it at 50.5. There could be a couple of wild ones in Minneapolis and in Green Bay. In the division, once again, Lions 4-1, Vikes 5-0, Packers sitting there at 4-2. It is 5:47, 13 minutes now in front of 6 o'clock. Once again, a little hockey talk. Jess Myers will join us here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. 10 minutes now in front of 6. Thanks so much for joining us. By the way, our sports coverage continues on Sunday with The Huddle, Pete Najarian and Dave Schwartz between 10 and noon. Always a ton of great guests and insight. Pete Najarian, Dave Schwartz, The Huddle tomorrow between 10 and noon here on CCO. Golden Gopher men's hockey, they're playing one of their longtime rivals, UMD Bulldogs, at Amsoil Arena in Duluth. Jess Myers is there. And now, Jess, is it fair to say Jess Myers of the Pioneer Press is covering this series?
Not exactly yet, but on November 1st, I will be taking over hockey duties for the Pioneer Press. I am writing for the St. Paul paper this weekend, and hope everybody catches my stuff there. But yeah, thank you, Steve. I'm excited about the new position, a chance to cover the NHL, which I've always wanted to do. And we'll see what we get out of this Minnesota Wild team, but I think it could be a fun season.
Yeah, a little banged up going into the game in Columbus. The injuries starting to pile up. And one of the things you had to be optimistic about was the return of the captain, Jared Spurgeon, to the lineup, and now it sounds like he is out again.
That went from being an exclamation point to being a question mark pretty quickly. Played a couple of games. He had the surgeries last year, some back problems, some hip problems. Wound up playing only 16 games last year, and after just a couple games this year, we talked to Bill Guerin middle of the week this week when they practiced outdoors in St. Louis Park, and he said, you know, it's just a matter of rest and making sure he's fully recovered from the surgeries and all that. But a lot of people are pessimistic, I'll tell you. Jared Spurgeon into his 30s now, never been one of the bigger guys on the ice, and as I like to say, playing defense in the National Hockey League is about the worst thing you can do to a human body. So you wonder how effective he's going to be and how many games he's going to play this season. And, you know, they've already put Damon Hunt in the lineup a few times to kind of make up for the loss, but clearly some concerns about his future.
Yeah, one other thought on the Wild out of the gate. Filip Gustavsson has been good. And a goalie goal the other night. I was leaving a high school football game and heard the call of the goalie goal. Little did I know, in the long history of the NHL, there's only been 18 of those. All the games, thousands of games. It's unbelievable.
The first one in Minnesota Wild history, too.
Right.
There's an interesting case because Filip Gustavsson started this season not necessarily very happy about the way things looked in the goalie room. I mean, we know Marc-Andre Fleury is always going to be kind of the backup this season, and he's made it clear that this is his final season in the NHL, kind of a victory lap for him after a fantastic career. He'll be the guy that they go to every now and then. But the question was, is it going to be Jesper Wallstedt coming up, the young kid making more starts? Are they going to trade Filip Gustavsson, things like that? Well, the way Gustavsson has played in these first four games, I think he's got three of the four starts. He's not going to get traded anytime soon because he looks like he's ready to just kind of run with this number one job.
All right, Jess Myers at Amsoil Arena in Duluth, the Bulldogs and the Golden Gophers. Fire wagon a hockey on Friday night. Gophers win a Wild one 7-5.
You know, they jump out to a 4-0 lead after one period. They're up 5-1 after two periods, but the Bulldogs aren't a team that go away easily, especially not here on their home rink, you know, a packed crowd. And that was one of the things that these young Gopher players talked about coming into last night, was kind of their first real road test, their first time facing a student section who say some not so nice things to them when they're down in that end of the rink, and kind of a good test for a team that's young, but it's got a ton of depth on defense. And we really saw them jump out of the gate last night with that 4-0 lead right away. Kind of had their way with the Bulldogs early on. You're right, it got a little goofy at the end. Bob Motzko said they wrestled the lead, you know, they wrestled the momentum back away from the Bulldogs every time UMD tried to take over the game. So that was a fun one. I think both coaches would like just a nice little quiet 3-1 game tonight or something like that.
And then a return to the cities for the Golden Gophers. They get the Tommies at 3M Arena at Mariucci on Friday night. Then that big showdown at the XL Energy Center. And I'm so glad to see the Tommies and the Gophers playing hockey. Hopefully it happens in hoops at some point, and so on and so forth. This is going to be a fun weekend.
Hey, don't we need some kind of traveling trophy for the Gophers and the Tommies?
No doubt. Yeah.
Some sort of battle of the Twin Cities kind of thing. You know, I don't know how you do it, but I think this could be a really fun rivalry, especially, you know, the new building that's going up on the St. Thomas campus is going to have about, I think, 5,000, 5,500 seats. You know that's going to be a great atmosphere, especially if they bring the Bulldogs into their building. But they're, as you mentioned, they're playing at XL Energy Center. I think it's next Saturday night, and they'll have a good crowd in there. They had maybe 10,000, 11,000 last year for a fantastic game between those two teams. Tommy's had a two-goal lead in the third period in that one. Gophers stormed back to tie it, and then Jimmy Snugger had shut her down in overtime. But this Tommy's team is not going away. They're clearly a program on the rise, and this is becoming a fun rivalry.
And finally, Jess, not good news out of Ritter Arena. The number one Badgers sweep the Golden Gophers at Ritter, final 4-3 today.
Yeah, this Wisconsin team is just a wagon. And, you know, the Gophers have looked good in stretches early in the season, but still trying to find their identity, trying to find their leg. You know, Abby Murphy is still just a superstar of a player, and, man, can't wait to see what she's going to do in the PWHL probably as soon as next year. But when you have one star player like that that the other teams can kind of key on. That's what you're seeing, and Wisconsin proving why it's the number one team in the country this weekend, especially last night, that big 5-0 win.
All right. Well, Jess, always good to visit with you. Congrats on the new gig.
All right, I appreciate it. Yeah, you can catch my stuff in the Pioneer Press all winter, and I hope we can talk lots more, Steve.
Oh, it would be my pleasure. All right, Jess, enjoy the time in Duluth. Great town.
Sounds great. Thanks, Steve.
There he is, Jess Myers, joining us from Duluth. Once again, I'll take over the wild beat at the Pioneer Press on November 1. I want to tell you about something here. Cecil Belisle, terrific amateur golfer from Red Wing, is turning pro. And they have a big GoPro party for Cecil Belisle. And it's coming up next Saturday at 5 o'clock at Red Wing Golf Course. And it's going to help him get started on his journey in pro golf. He played at the University of Kansas, won two tournaments there, Big 12 Golfer of the Month, top 100 golfer in D1, led the Jayhawks in scoring average, and tied the lowest 54-hole score in Jayhawks history. He played at South Mountain Community College in Arizona. He's a two-time state champ as a high schooler and is a state open champ. So once again, Cecil Belisle from Red Wing, a GoPro party 1 week from today at 5 o'clock at Red Wing Golf Course. Get a hold of them for more info. Big thanks to Jonathan Lowe. Big thanks to you for tuning in. Have a great Saturday night here on CCO.